far and thinks himself near home. He is carried back to the place from whence he set forth. This will befall every soul ignorant of Christ and the way of life through him. After many years' travel, as they think, towards heaven by their good means, blind devotions, and reformation, when they shall expect to be within sight of heaven, they shall find themselves even where they were at first, as much the slaves of Satan as ever. Use 1. This speaks to you that are parents. See what need you have of instructing your children and training them up. Betimes in the nature and admonition of the Lord. Till these chains of darkness be knocked off their minds, there is no possibility of getting them out of the devil's prison. He hath no such tame slave as the ignorant soul. Such a one goes before Satan as the silly sheep before the butcher, and knows not who he is, nor whither he carries him. And can you see the devil driving your children to the shambles and not labor to rescue them out of his hands? Bloody parents you are that can thus harden your bowels against your own flesh. Now the more to provoke you to your duty, take these considerations. 1. Your relation obliges you to take care of their precious souls. It is the soul is the child rather than the body, and therefore in Scripture put for the whole man. Abraham and Lot went forth with all the souls they had gotten in Haran, Genesis chapter 12. So all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, that is, all the persons, the body is but the sheath, and if one should leave his sword with you to be kept safely for him, would you throw away the blade and only preserve the scabbard? And yet parents do commonly judge of their care and love to their children by providing for the outward man by their breeding and teaching them how to live like men, as they say, when they are dead and gone, and comport themselves to their civil place and rank in the world. These things indeed are commendable, but is not the most weighty business of all forgotten? In the meantime, while no endeavor is used, that they may live as Christians and know how to carry themselves in duty to God or man as such? And can they do this without the knowledge of the holy rule they are to walk by? I am sure David knew no means effectual without this, and therefore propounds the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he resolves it in the next words, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Psalms 119, verse 9. And how shall they compare their way and the word together, if not instructed? Our children are not born with Bibles in their heads or hearts. And who ought to be the instructor, if not the parent? Yea, who will do it with such natural affection? As I have heard sometimes a mother say in other respects, who can take such pains with my child, and be so careful as myself that am its mother? Bloody parents then they are, who acquaint not their children with God or his word. What do they but put them under a necessity of perishing, if God stir not up some to show more mercy than themselves to them? Is it any wonder to hear that ship to be sunk or dashed upon the rock, which was put to sea without card or compass? No more is it they should engulf themselves in sin and perdition. They are thrust forth into the world, which is a sea of temptation, without the knowledge of God or their duty to him. If the fear of God, think of it, parents, your children have souls, and these God set you to watch over. It will be a poor count at the last day if you can only say, Lord, here are my children. I bred them completely gentlemen, left them rich and wealthy. The rust of that silver you left them will witness your folly and sin, that you would do so much for that which rust and nothing for enriching their minds with the knowledge of God, which would have endured forever. Happy if you had left them less money and more knowledge. 2. Consider, it hath ever been the saints' practice to instruct and teach their children the way of God. David we find dropping instruction into his son Solomon, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Though a king, he did not put it off to his chaplains, but welded it on him with his own lips. Neither was his queen Bathsheba forgetful of her duty. Her gracious counsel is upon record. Proverbs 31. And that she may do it with a more serious and solemnity, we find her stirring up her motherly bowels to let her son see that she fetched her words deep, even from her heart. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my bowels? Verse 2. Indeed, that counsel is most like to go to the heart, which comes from thence. Parents know not what impressions such melting expressions of their love, mingled with their instructions, leave on their children. God bids, draw forth our souls to the hungry. That is more than draw our purse, which may be done, and the heart hard and churlish. Thus we should draw forth our souls with our instructions. What need I tell you of Timothy's mother and grandmother, who acquainted him with the Scripture from his youth? And truly, I think, that man calls in question his own saintship, that takes no care to acquaint his child with God and the way that leads to him. I have known some that, though profane themselves, have been very solicitous their children should have good education, but never knew I a saint that was regardless whether his child knew God or not. Number 3. It is an act of great unrighteousness not to instruct our children. We read of some that hold the truth in unrighteousness. Among others, those parents do it, that lock up the knowledge of these saving truths from their children, which God hath imparted to themselves. There is a double unrighteousness in it. First, they are unrighteous to their children, who may lay as much claim to their care of instructing them as to their labor and industry in laying up a temporal estate for them. If he should do unrighteously with his child, that should not endeavor to provide for his outward maintenance, or having gathered an estate, should lock it up and deny his child necessities. Then much more that he that lives in ignorance of God, whereby he renders himself incapable of providing for his child's soul, but most of all, he that having gathered a stock of knowledge, yet hides it from his child. Secondly, they are unrighteous to God. First, in that they keep that talent in their own hands, which was given to be paid out to their children. When God revealed himself to Abraham, he had respect to Abraham's children, and therefore we find God promising himself this at Abraham's hands, upon which he imparts his mind to him, concerning his purpose of destroying Sodom. Shall I hide from Abraham, saith God, that thing which I do? I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 and 19. The church began at first in a family, and was preserved by the godly care of parents, in instructing their children and household in the truths of God, whereby the knowledge of God was transmitted from generation to generation. And though now the church is not confined in such strait limits, yet every private family is as a little nursery to the church. If the nursery be not carefully planted, the orchard will soon decay. Oh, could you be willing, Christians, that your children, when you are laid in the dust, should be turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine, and prove a generation that do not know God? Atheism needs not be planted. You do enough to make your children such if you do not endeavor to plant religion in their minds. The very neglect of the gardener to sow and dress his garden gives advantage enough to the weeds to come out. This is the difference between religion and atheism. Religion doth not grow without planting, but will die even where it is planted without watering. Atheism, irreligion, and profaneness are weeds will grow without setting. They will not die without plucking up, all care and means little enough to stub them up. And therefore, you that are parents and do not teach your children, deal the more unrighteously with God, because you neglect the best season in their whole life for planting in them the knowledge of God. and plucking up the contrary weeds of atheism and irreligion. Young weeds come up with most ease. Sinful ignorancy in youth becomes willful ignorancy, yea, imprudency in age. He will not instruct them when young, and they will scorn their ministers when they are old. Secondly, you deal unrighteously with God, that train not up your children in the knowledge of God, because your children, if you be Christian parents, are God's children. They stand in a federal relation to Him, which the children of others do not. And shall God's children be nurtured with the devil's education? Ignorance is that which he blinds the minds of the children of disobedience withal. Shall God's children have no better breeding? The children of a Jew God made account were born to him. Thy sons and daughters whom thou hast born to me. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20. God had, by the covenant which he made with that people, marred them unto himself, and therefore as the wife bears her children to her husband, they are his children. So God calls the children of the Jew his, and complains of it as an horrible wickedness in them, that they should not bring them up as his, but offer them up to Moloch. They have slain my children, saith God, verse 21, and are not the children of a Christian his children, as well as the Jews were? Hath God recalled or altered the first covenant and cut off the entail? And darest thou slay not only thy children, but the Lord's also? And is not ignorancy that bloody knife that doeth it? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Do not tremble to offer them, not to Moloch, but the devil, whom before you had given up to God when you brought them to that solemn ordinance of baptism, and there desired before God and man that they might become covenant servants to the Lord? And hast thou bound them to him and never teach them either who their Lord and Master is or what their duty is as his servants? Out of thine own mouth will God condemn thee. Number 4, consider you who are parents, that by not instructing your children you entitle them yourselves to all the sins they shall commit to their death. We may sin by a proxy and make another's fact our own. Thou hast, saith God, by Nathan to David, concerning Uriah, slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. 2 Samuel 12:9. So thou mayest pierce Christ and slay him over and over with the bloody sword of the wicked children, if thou art not the more careful to train them up in the fear of God. There might be something said for that heathen who, when the secular abused him, fell upon the master and struck him. Indeed, it is possible he might be in the most fault. When the child breaks the Sabbath, it is his sin. But more the father's, if he never taught of the child, it will be hard for him to escape a partnership, yea, a precedency in the punishment. Oh, what a sad greeting will such have of their children at the great day. Will they not then accuse you to be the murderers of their precious souls, and lay their blood at your door, cursing you to your face? That taught them no better. But grant that by the interposition of thy timely repentancy, thou securest thy soul from the judgment of that day. Yet God can scourge thee here for the neglect of thy duty to them. How often do we see children become heavy crosses to such parents? It is just that they should not know their duty to thee who doest not teach them their duty to God. Or if thou shouldest not live so long as to see this, yet shall thou canst not but go in sorrow to thy grave, to leave children behind thee that are on their way to hell. Some think that Lot's lingering so long in Sodom was his loathness to leave his son-in-laws behind him to perish in the flames. No doubt, good man, it was very grievous to him, and this might make him stay pleading with them till the angels pulled him away. And certainly, nothing makes holy parents more loath to be gone out of the reach of that fire before they go, that God will rain upon the heads of sinners. Ye know not how soon the messengers may come to pluck you hence. Do your best while you are among them to win them home to God. Years 2. To the ministers of the gospel, let this stir up your bowels of compassion towards those many ignorant souls. If in your respective congregations who know not the right hand from the left, this is the great destroyer of the country, which ministers should come forth against with all their care and strength, more swept to hell with this plague of spiritual darkness than any other. Where the light of knowledge and conviction is, there commonly is a sense and pain that accompanies the sinner when he doeth evil, which forces some now and then to inquire for a physician and come in the distress of their spirits to their ministers or others for the counsel. But the ignorant soul feels no smart. If the minister stay till he sends for him to instruct him, he may sooner hear the bell go for him than any messenger come for him. You must seek them out and not expect that they will come to you. These are a sort of people that are afraid more of their remedy than their disease, and study more to hide their ignorancy than how they may have it cured, which should make us pity them the more, because they can pity themselves so little. I confess it is no small unhappiness to some of us who have to do with a multitude that we have neither time nor strength to make our address to every particular person in that congregation and attend on them as their needs require, and yet cannot well satisfy our conscience otherwise. But let us look to it that though we cannot do to the height of what we would, we be not found wanting in what we may. Let not the difficulty of our providence make us like some who, when they see they have more work upon their hands than they can well dispatch, grow sick of it, and sit down out of a lazy despondency, and just do nothing. He that hath a great house running to ruin, and but a small purse, it is better for him to repair now a little, and then a little, than let all fall down, because he cannot do it all at once. Many ministers may complain of their predecessors, that they left them, their people, more out of repair than their houses, and this makes the work great indeed. As the Jews, who were to revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish before they could build the wall, yet it went up because the people had a mind to work. Nineveh chapter 4. Oh, if once our hearts were but filled with zeal for God and compassion to our people's souls, we would often be doing, though we could but lay a brick a day, and God would be with us. Maybe you who find a people rude and Scottish ignorant, like stones in the quarry and trees unfelled, shall not bring the work to such perfection in your days as you desire. Yet as David did for Solomon, thou mayest, by thy pains in teaching and instructing them, prepare materials for another who shall rear the temple. It is very ordinary for one minister to enter into the labors of another, to reap those by a work of conversion in whom a former minister hath cast the seed of knowledge and conviction. And when God comes to reckon with his workmen, the plowman and the sower shall have his penny, as well as the harvestman and reaper. Oh, it is a blessed thing to be as Job saith he was, eyes to the blind, much more to blind souls. Such are the ministers whom God himself calls pastors after his own heart, that feed his people with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. But woe to those that are accessory to their people's ignorancy. May a minister now be accessory to the ignorancy of his people. First, by his own ignorancy. Knowledge is so fundamental to the work and calling of a minister that he cannot be one without it. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Because thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The want of knowledge in a minister is such a defect as
cannot be supplied by anything else. Be he never so meek, patient, bountiful, unblameable, he hath not skill to divide the word aright. He is not cut out for a minister. Everything is good, as it is good for the end it is appointed to. A knife, though it hath a sheath of diamonds, yet it will not cut. It is no knife. A bell, if no sound, is no bell. The great work of a minister is to teach others. His lips are to preserve knowledge. He should be as conversant in the things of God as others in their particular trades. Ministers are called lights. If the light then be darkness, how great is the darkness of that people like to be? I know these stars in Christ's hands are not all of the same magnitude. There is a greater glory of gifts and graces that shines in some than others. Yet so much light is necessary to every minister, as was in the star the wise man saw at Christ's birth, to be able, out of the word, to direct sinners the safe and true way to Christ and salvation. O sirs, it is a sad way of getting a living by killing of men, as some unskillful physicians do, but much more to get a temporal livelihood by ruining souls through our ignorancy. He is a cruel man to the poor passenger who will undertake to be pilot, when he never so much as learned his compass. Secondly, by his negligence. It is all one if the nurse hath no milk in her breast, or having draws it forth to her child. There is a woe to the idle shepherd, Zechariah chapter 11. Such as have mouths but speak not, lips but not to feed the people with knowledge. It shall be the people's sin if they feed not when bread is before them. But woe to us if we give them not meat in due season. O sirs, what shall we say to our Lord that trusts us, if those abilities which he hath given us as market money to buy bread for our people be found wrapped up in a napkin of sloth? If that answer wherein we should have been teaching and instructing them shall appear to be wasted in our pleasures or employed about our carnal profits, that servant shall have but a sad welcome of his master when he comes home, that shall be found out in the way with the key, and the family starving in the meantime for want of provision. Thirdly, by his unedifying preaching, when he preacheth unsound doctrine, which profiteth not, perfect the understanding, but corrupt it. Better he did leave them in simple ignorancy than color their minds with a false dye, or when that he preaches it frothy and flashy, no more fit to feed their souls than husk the prodigal's belly, which, when they know, they are a little wiser for their soul's good. Or when his discourses are so high flown that the poor people stand gazing as those who have lost the sight of their pastor, and at the end of the sermon cannot tell what he would have. Or those who preach only truths that are in the higher forms of professors, who have their senses well exercised. Excellence may be for the building of three or four eminent saints in the congregation, but in the meantime, the weak ones in the family, who should indeed be chiefly thought on, because least able to guide themselves or carve for themselves, these are forgotten. He sure is an unwise builder that makes a scaffold as high as Paul's steeple, when his work is at the bottom, and he is to lay the foundation, whereas the scaffold should rise as the building goes up. So Paul advances in his doctrine as his hearers do in knowledge. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let us. It is well indeed when the people can keep pace with the preacher. To preach truths and notions above the hearer's capacity is like a nurse that should go to feed a child with a spoon too big to go into its mouth. We may, by such preaching, please ourselves, some of higher attainments. But what shall poor ignorant ones do in the meantime? He is the faithful steward that considers both. The preacher is, as Paul saith of himself, a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian. to the wise and to the unwise. Romans 1:14, to prepare truths suitable to the degree of his hearers. Let the wise have their portion, but let them be patient to see the weaker in the family served also. Fourthly, a minister may be accessory to the ignorancy of his people, when through the scandal of his life he prejudices his doctrine as a cook, who by his nastiest makes others afraid to eat what comes out of his foul fingers, or when through his carriage his poor people dare not come to him. He that will do anything in the minister's calling must be as careful as the fisher, that he hath nothing to scare souls away from him, but all to allure and invite, that they may be drawn within the compass of his net. Use 3. Is the ignorant soul such a slave to Satan? Let this stir you up that are ignorant from your seats of cloth, whereon, like the blind Egyptian, you sit in darkness. Speedily come out of this darkness, and resolve not to go down to utter darkness. The covering of Haman's face did tell him that he should not stay in the king's presence. If thou livest in ignorancy, it shows thou art in God's black belt. He puts this cover before thine eyes in wrath, whom he means to turn off into hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If our gospel be hid, it is to those that perish. In one place sinners are threatened, they shall die without knowledge. Job chapter 36. In another place they shall die in their sins. John chapter 8. He indeed that dies without knowledge dies in his sins. And what more fearful doom can the great God pass upon a creature than this? Better die in a prison, die in a ditch, than die in our sins. If thou die in thy sins, thou shalt rise in thy sins. As thou fallest asleep in the dust, so thou awakest in the morning of the resurrection. If an ignorant, Christless wretch, as such thou shalt be arranged and judged, that God whom now sinners bid depart from them will then be worth their acquaintance, themselves being judges. But, alas, then he will throw their own words in their teeth, and bid them depart from him. He desires not the knowledge of them. O sinners, ye shall see at last, God can better be without your company in heaven, than you could without his knowledge on earth. Yet, it is day, draw your curtains, and behold Christ shining upon your face with gospel light. Hear wisdom crying in the streets, and Christ piping under your window in the voice of his Spirit and messengers. How long will ye simple ones love simplicity, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you, and make known my words unto you. Proverbs 1, verse 21 through 23. What can you say, sinners, in your Scottish ignorancy? Where is your cloak for this sin? The time hath been when the word of the Lord was precious, and there was no open vision, not a Bible to be found in a town or country, when the tree of knowledge was forbidden fruit, and none might taste thereof without license for the Pope. Happy he that could get a loaf or two of the Testament into a corner, afraid to tell the wife of his bosom. Oh, how sweet were these waters when you were forced to steal them. But you have the word, or may, in your houses. You have those that open it every Sabbath in their assemblies. Many of you at least have the offers of your ministers to take any pains with you in private, passionately beseeching you to pity your souls and receive instruction. Yea, it is the lamentation that generally take up, you will not come unto them, that you may receive light. How long may a poor minister sit in his study before any of the ignorant sort will come upon such an errand? Lawyers have their clients and physicians their patients. These are sought after and called up at midnight for counsel. But alas, the soul which is more worth than raiment and body too, that is neglected and the minister seldom thought on, till both these be sent away. Perhaps when the physician gives them over for dead, then we must come and close up their eyes for comfort, which will never open to see Christ in his truth or be counted cruel, because we will not sprinkle them with this holy water and anoint them for the kingdom of heaven, though they know not a step of the way that leads to it. Ah, poor wretches, what comfort would you have us speak to those